Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there's a lot of movement in the scriptures today. A lot of stuff going on. In our first reading, after defeating the false prophets of Queen Jezebel earlier in 1 Kings, Elijah goes to the wilderness where he receives a vision from God of what he must do to anoint King Hazael as king of Aram, to anoint Jehu as son of Nimshi as king over Israel, to anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, and Abel-Meholah. You nailed these two, Terry, very good. As his successor prophet. You know, these few verses before the reading today, Elijah was despondent, almost in despair, running for his life. But he found courage, and he was ready to act in courageous and decisive ways. Why? What happened? He got a vision. A vision from God. In our gospel reading, in Luke's gospel, Jesus had just experienced transfiguration. He healed a demon-possessed boy, and he foretold of his death and glorious resurrection in Jerusalem. And today we hear how Jesus was not deterred by the negativity of the Samaritans, or his own disciples who were tempting him to put fire down on the Samaritans and punish them. No, he had his eyes focused, not these two extremes, the left or the right. He was focused on his mission from God. And what kept Jesus' head straight? What kind of put on the holy blinders so the fire people and the accusing people wouldn't deter him and get him into a culture war? He had a vision from God. Before he did his mission, after he was baptized, the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. 40 days, 40 nights, he prayed. He wrestled with the devil. He wrestled with this and that and said, "What's your will, God?" And God revealed his will to him. He knew where he was going. He had vision. That is very important for God's people, to have vision, to know where we are going. And when society comes to us with culture wars from the left and the right and all this stuff, to be able to discern, where's God leading us? Where is kingdom living? How do you follow in this way? Vision. Vision is so important. You know, a week from next Wednesday, we're going to celebrate our Independence Day, the 4th of July, and we'll celebrate a vision that guys like Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and Benjamin Franklin and gals like Abigail Adams and Deborah Sampson and Martha Custis Washington had, a vision of a land where people from all over the world and all religions and all different colors and races can come and gather in freedom and equality, where fair and equal rights were given to all people, a vision where people have a voice in how they're governed and who governs them, and people have a peaceful transfer of power by voting. And when you lose, you graciously step down. Don't act like a bully and cause all kind of problems, constitutional problems. You step down. A glorious experiment, America, where human community never before experienced, no kings, where people had a republic, like Benjamin Franklin said, if you can keep it. An experiment where that has been tested by civil war and violent insurrection just a few years ago, internal and external threats, an experiment that is still being realized and can be realized as long as we keep the vision. Vote, and work for peace and justice in the world without violence as Christians. Because as the writer of Proverbs tells us, where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. They dry up like grapes on the vine that aren't nourished. They dry up. We as the family of God need a vision a soul-stretching vision that inspires us, that energizes us, that changes us from the inside out to help us glow with the glory of God, that focuses us on what God calls us to do for now and in the future, to say, what we decide now, how's that going to affect those who come after us? Bert Nanus wrote in his book, Visionary Leadership, "There is no more powerful engine for driving an organization towards excellence and long-range success than an attractive, worthwhile, and achievable vision of the future." Vision of the future, widely shared. The powerful engine inspires us from the inside out, that drives us to be our best, to the glory of God, and is an inspiration and vision to others. When they see you turned on and you enthused, it gets their attention. When they see a kind word spoken in a hateful situation, it gets their attention. They say, well, how can you do that? Ah, there's your teachable moment. Let me tell you about Jesus in my life. You see, vision and mission go together. Our vision and guiding principles that we have for our congregation, that's often in your bulletin. In fact, it's on the back of the card that I have. Following Jesus as Lord and Savior, to say, no one and no thing is above our Lord Jesus Christ. 2, watching for God in everyone we meet. Everybody, you can start here. Everybody we meet, look for God. For some spouses, that might be tough. Keep looking for God in each other. Deepening our faith to strengthen our discipleship. You know, what fuels the engine for your following Jesus and learning from Jesus? Encouraging and equipping everyone for the work of ministry, to help each other do the work for ministry. If you see something, oh boy, you're good with your hands. Oh, you're good at prayer. Oh, you're good at teaching. Encourage that. Serving gladly as the hand and voice of Christ. Like St. Teresa said, in this life, Christ has no voice but your voice, no hands but your hands, no feet but your feet. Telling others about Jesus. Why do you go to church? Why do you read the Bible? Why are you kind? Let me tell you about my Lord and Savior. And inviting others all to join in God's work. To invite others, your neighbors, your friends, to hear, to worship. To invite others to do in ministry with others in Jesus' name. These are ways of following. Now, Pastor David Cho, he died in 2021, but he was pastor of the biggest church in the whole world. It's in South Korea, the Yodo Full Gospel Church. And one of the driving forces of that church, as he's preached in Jesus' name, was that the people should be pregnant with a dream. Pregnant with a dream. Let that dream be in you and let it gestate in you and let it be born through you to others. One question we may ask in order to get over our dreams is, what is your passion? When you read here about Jesus Christ, what's stirred in you? Where's the joy? Where's the energy in you about Jesus Christ? And what's our St. Paul's passion for ministry? Where's our passion? Why have a church on the hill? Why do we exist? How do we proclaim the kingdom of God? How do we proclaim Jesus? Ask those questions. One way to discover on a congregational level that this passion is to observe how we worship. Do we have passion in our worship, in our prayers, in our hymns, in our readings? When you look at the how do we form each other here? When you come here, is there a noticeable difference when you leave here? And is that noticeable difference last out there? Look at our in the bulletin. It should be in next week's bulletin. We have a list of things that we do as a congregation. Worship. How do we worship? Education. How are we teaching people? How are we equipping people to do ministry? Evangelism and witness. How do we share? How do we let our light shine? How do we put our lights under a bushel basket? Let your light so shine that other people will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And our lovely grounds. How do we keep our grounds lovely? And they are beautiful. I mean, people notice, boy, this church has beautiful grounds. And our lawnmower person is not equipped. Bruce and White are doing it, but you know, we need to get that. We might have a professional service. Who knows? It will cost more. But we want to keep our grounds beautiful. When people look how we keep the church, they're going to see how we think of our God. Visions, miracles, mystery, possibilities, energy that you haven't thought about before. Using your imagination in Christ. Well, you know, there's a power. There's a power in this universe. There's a love. There is an ultimate meaning that comes to us from beyond us, yet it's in us. I remember my son, Mark, when he was 5 years old. I was reading him some stories. He was sitting in my lap, and he had one of these epiphanies. He said, Daddy, he said, God made everything. God is so great, but also God's in my heart and your heart. And I almost had tears in my eyes. I said, you got it. You got it, son. You got it. Then he moved to Singapore. Anyhow, but God is present. He invites us today to dream his dreams, to catch his vision. The prophet Joel foresaw this day, and he speaks for God when he says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Joel was talking about today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. This season of green, this season of Pentecost, is to grow in our baptism, to grow in the Spirit, to grow in the vision that God gives us. The Spirit of what? The fruits, the gifts, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. These are gifts of the Spirit, my friends, that we have. But they need to be nurtured. They need to be acted upon. They need to be experienced by us and others. The Spirit empowers us to dream God's dream, to envision God's vision, to work for the beloved community where all are accepted, and the child shall lead them, and the ox and the lion and all should lay down together in peace. What vision? What vision does God give you, Nancy? Eileen? Annie? Jim? Dave? What vision does God give you personally? Because he's a God that gives visions. And what vision does God give St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church in North Park? What does he give us? I mean, we're a little church with a big faith. That's good. What's the faith? Where's the fruit? Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Share with others. Let us know your vision. Tell me your vision. Tell the council. Council members, raise your hand. Council members, raise your hand. Look, you're on council. Raise your hand, Janet. These are people. Tell them your vision. Tell them your vision. I want to hear from you. And if the vision is from God, then with joy, step back and watch out what God will do with that in the season of the Holy Spirit. As the Proverbs 3:13-6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with the center, your guts of who you are, with all your heart, heart, mind, soul, and strength, with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will give you a vision if you're open to it, if you pray for it, if you look for it. He will give it to you. Catch that vision, trust in that vision, act in that vision, and the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.